afternoon. I'd like to thank Rabbi Bronstein for inviting me once again to share the annual shiurim given here in the summer. And it's always a pleasure to be here and thank the sponsors and all those that attend. And I'm speaking to Rabbi Bronstein, discussing what should be the topic. So we said, well, the next night so is going to be the Siyum HaShas. So we should perhaps pick something apropos for that. So hence the topic of Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh. Meaning, the study of Torah is interesting. We have the Chumash, besides the Tanakh, but the core of the Chumash. And to tell you the truth, if you would just read the Chumash without the interpretations that we have from the Talmud, we wouldn't come to the conclusion of practicing Judaism the way we do today. You know, if you would read in the Torah about the tefillin, you know, there should be kshatim osal yadecha, v'yutot tefos b'inecha. So it's very unclear, just reading it superficially, what that means. Pre-Eitz Hadar, Esrog, it's not so clear that's what it means. But an essential part of our belief is that together with the written law comes the oral tradition as well, to sort of be a key and a decipher to understand what's going on in the Chumash. Because without that, even something simple like Shabbos, just as Lo Sa'aseh Melacha in the Torah. So I would think, you know, if you're going and you're chopping wood and you're going out in the field, that's Melacha. I would never have thought that just turning on a switch or just having a tissue in my pocket and walking out in the street where there's no Erev is included in that. And that's why we have the whole Talmud that basically opens up new horizons to us in our understanding of the Chumash. And we believe that one who denies the authenticity of the Talmud is basically a heretic, is basically not part of our tradition of Judaism, because this is the in other words, the Chumash is given together with the Torah Shebaal Peh, and without the Torah Shebaal Peh, as Dr. Asher Ziv, who used to teach in YU, Allah Shalom, used to say, it's a closed book. It's a closed book. So let us see some of the sources, perhaps, of what this is all about. The Pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, on page 1, says, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Ale Eli Hahara V'yesham, that no lacha is luchos ha'evin. I'm going to give you the luchos, the two tablets. The ha'torah, the ha'mitzvah. Asher kasafti lahorosam. And I'm going to give you the Torah, and I'm going to give you the mitzvah. What does that mean? What does Torah mean? What does mitzvah mean? So the Gemara, in Masech the Brachos, on page 2 here, on the left side of the page, he says, "Amar of Levi Bachama, Amar of Shimon ben Lachish, May Dixi Ve'adnelucha Es Luchos Ha'Evin Va'Tor Va'Hamitzvah Shekasavti Lo'orosom Luchos, the tablets, Elo Aseres Hadibros." That we all know. Usually the Aseres Hadibros. Right, that's the Luchos, the Ten Commandments. Torah, Zemikra. Torah is referring to the Chumash. HaMitzvah Zo Mishnah. Mitzvah is referring to the Mishnah.
Why is it the
singular? Meaning what? Well, in other words, the embodiment of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is also singular. Right? Mishnah is also singular. It means the whole corpus of the Mishnah is called Mishnah. Like a Mishnah class. You know, the whole... Asher kastavti elu neviim uksuvim. That's neviim uksuvim. L'harosom zeh gemara. L'harosam, to give us guidance, that's the Gemara. Melamed shekulam nitnu l'Moshe misinai. That all these things were given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. That's your halacha l'Moshe misinai. All these things were given. Mikra, Mishnah, all these things were given, at least it were given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, being both the Torah Shebichtav and the Torah Shebalteh. Now, if you look in the Gemara, it's very interesting that the Chumash is called Mikra. What's the significance of this, that the Chumash is called Mikra? So there is an interesting comment. If you look on page 3, this is a Xerox from the Sefer Bikurei Abba. There's Rabbi Abba Braunschweigel, Shlita. He quotes here a famous interpretation from the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav was written by the first Rebbe of Chabad, first Lubavitch Rebbe, the Shneur Zalman of Ladi. He wrote his own Shulchan Aruch. And it's considered one of the great halachic works. Even for people who have nothing to do with Lubavitch, use this work. In fact, if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, almost every page in the Mishnah Berurah quotes from this Sefer. Very often it's referred to as the Graz, Gimel Reish Zayin, Hagon Reb Zalman. This is Reb Shneur Zalman of Ladi, and he wrote a Shulchan Aruch. And one section of his Shulchan Aruch was the laws of learning Torah, of mitzvah Talmud Torah. And he makes a comment, if you look here, Das Shulchan Aruch HaRav, Hilchos Talmud Torah, Sheish Hevdol Ben Torah Shebichtav V'Torah Shebal Peh. There's a difference between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebal Peh. Namely, Shevator Shebichtav Afilum Eino Mavin Mikayim Talmud Torah. Masha Enkein B'Torah Shebal Peh Tzorch L'Havim. Which is a fascinating idea. Meaning, if you open a Chumash and you read the Psukim and you don't understand a word, you still consider doing a mitzvah of reading Torah Shebichtav. It's not the greatest mitzvah. I mean, it would be a better mitzvah if you knew you were reading. But it's something. If you read Mishnayos and you're just reading and you have no clue what you learned how to read, but you don't know what anything means, so then you didn't get a mitzvah of Talmud Torah at all. So the Shulchan Aruch HaRav makes that distinction between the written law and the oral law, Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebal Peh. That Torah Shebichtav, even though there's a greater value, of course, to understand what you're reading, but there is a value of just reading it alone is a mitzvah. Torah Shebal Peh, if you don't understand, it's not a mitzvah at all. So he quotes here from Rav Soloveitchik, Mori HaGurit Soloveitchik, Shemishim Hachi Nikreis Torah Shebal Peh Gemara O Talmud, Ratzolom Shetzrichim Lilmodu Lahavin. The Torah Shebichtav Nikra Mikra, Ratzolom Etzem HaKriya Hi Talmud Torah. But why is the Torah, the written law, called Mikra? because there's a value in Kriya alone. In just reading the words, there's a value. A person's reading the words alone, there's some value to that. The oral tradition is not called Mikra. It's called Mishnah, it's called Gemara. Mishnah means Vishinantam, to teach, Gemara, to understand. It's all about understanding. If there's no understanding, then there's no mitzvah. Torah Shevach Chasav is the mitzvah to understand also. But there is also a basic level of just reading the words itself has a value to it. Oh, so what you're saying is valid as well. Meaning, if a person is trying to figure out and he's not succeeding, he gets mitzvah just for the toil. I'm talking about a person who just is reading the words. He knows how to read Hebrew, so he's just reading a Mishnah. He's opening up a Mishnah. He's just reading the words. He has no clue. He has no even ability to understand what it is. He just knows how to read Hebrew. So give him a chumash. At least he would get the value of reading chumash. Reading the Gemara or reading a Mishnah without understanding does not. If he's working on a hard Gemara and he has the ability to do so, and he's still not getting it, but the toil itself is a value. That's what we say at a siyum. Talking about a siyum, there's a famous pshat from the Chafetz Chaim. Right, Anur Amelim, V'Heim Amelim. We work in Torah, and they work in other pursuits. The shoemaker also works. Says it's Anu Amelim U'Mekablim Schar, Heim Amelim Ne'Enam Mekablim Schar. We toil and we get reward. They toil and they don't get reward. What does that mean? Anyone who toils in whatever field he is, he's going to get reward. He gets some. So the classic idea that the Chafetz Chaim says is when it comes to Torah, there's a value just in the effort alone. Even if you didn't have a result, even if you were working and you just didn't get it in the end, the effort itself has a value. But in mundane things, the way I've heard said over the shoemaker, supposed to fix the shoe, tried very hard, in the end, he wasn't successful, I'm not going to get money for it. Because no one's paying for his effort, paying for the finished product. If you give me the finished product, I pay you. If you don't give me the finished product, I don't pay. So what you're saying is has also valid. But that's the idea of the Mikra and the Mishnah. Oh. So there's a very interesting interpretation of the Rabbeinu Bechaya, one of the Rishonim, on page 4. And the interpretation of Rabbeinu Bechaya is to the most, I'd say, of all the psukim in Chumash. What's the most frequented pasuk in Chumash? What would you say? So, Havdalecha Kamoch only appears one time. Vayidabra Hashem al Moshe Leinu. All the time. So what does that pasuk mean? What does that pasuk mean? So the most common interpretation is that pasuk means, as Rav Shechter pointed out, Vayidabra Hashem Moshe Leimor, means Hashem said to Moshe to tell over to other people. Leimor means Leimor, as Rav Shechter pointed out, Leimor L'Acherim. That's the most common interpretation. The Rabbeinu Bechaya says a different pshat. And we'll read it, and then I'll explain it to you. We don't have to read the whole thing. We'll start with the paragraph, the Hine, on the third column on page 4. Hine, ze bir v'idaber Hashem o'moshe leimor, berov mekom basator v'idaber Hashem o'moshe hu pshat ha-mitzvah, leimor shi'igala lo ha-nishter shabo. So, the simple reading of what he's saying is Vaidaber is the simple pshat, and Leimor is the hidden pshat. So Rav Pinchas Friedman of Belz once pointed out, based on Rav Baruch Tumen Frankel, that most probably what Rabbeinu Bechaya is saying is the following. Vayidaber is the Torah Shebichsav. Why is Vayidaber Torah Shebichsav? Because we know the difference what's between Dibur and Amira. What's the difference between Dibur and Amira? Dibur is what? Loshon Kosher, hard speech, Lamor, Kosol Meir Leves Yaakov, is soft. So what's the difference? So he says, Vayidaber is the Torah Shebichsav. Why? Because the Torah Shebichsav is very rigid. There's a certain amount of letters, a certain amount of words. You can't add, you can't subtract. If something missing, it could possible the whole Torah, right? When we have a letter missing, you take out a new Torah. Vayidaber is the Torah Shebichsav. Very rigid. But let me ask you a question. What's the Torah Shebaal Peh? Torah Shebaal Peh is pliable. Because what's the source, what's the core of Torah Shebaal Peh? We say it every morning. Right, it's Rabbi Yishmael Omer. B'shlosh esrei midos ha-Torah nidreshes b'hem. There are 13 principles that the Torah is expounded upon. In other words, we have a certain amount of words in the Torah. Say, it says in the Torah you should put a tefillin b'nei necha, between your eyes. So where's between my eyes? Should be right over here. So who says, but we know that's not good. You're supposed to put it where? Up here, by the hair. How do we know? Because in Parshas Re'eh, it says, Lo siskodu lo simu korcha b'nei nechem, that if God forbid one loses a relative, he's not allowed to, some people, they would lose a relative, so out of such anguish, they would take metal knives and they would serrate their skin and they would pull hair from between their eyes. And that's forbidden. So, over there it says, b'nei necha. Also, sim korcha b'nei nechem. And there can't mean over here because there's no hair over here. So it must mean the hair on top. So just like b'nei necha, by the isser, pulling hair means between your eyes, but it means on top. So tefillin is what? B'nei necha means between your eyes, but not over here, but between your eyes up here. And that is what? And that is called a gzeira shava, when we have two words or similar words in two different parts of the Torah, and one sheds light on the other. In other words, if the Torah says b'nei necha by tefillin, I have no clue. Where does it mean over here? Does it mean over here? Where does it mean? So comes the Torah elsewhere, b'nei nechem, by korcha, by pulling hair out, and also says b'nei nechem there, it has to mean over here. So that sheds light on tefillin that it means over here. So basically, the rabbis were given the tools of the 13 principles to show how to elucidate, how to take the Torah and make it more understandable. And we have the Kal Vachomer and the Gzeira Shava, all the different things of the 13 principles. So that's expansive. That's taking principles and developing. Now, it's not like anyone could just do it on their own, but there's a tradition of how to do it of the rabbis had in the time of the Talmud. And that's pliable. So Lamor is the Torah Shebaal Peh. So Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lamor, explains the Rabbeinu Bechaya, as some interpret, means when Hashem gave the Torah, he gave the rigid state of Torah that had X amount of letters, X amount of words, except you can't add, you can't subtract. Very rigid. And Lamor, and he gave the Torah Shebaal Peh the ability to learn and expand upon that. That's a new interpretation of Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor. Fascinating. Then, Rav Pinchas Friedman of Belz points out from the Baruch Tam a very interesting pshat in a pasuk in Tehillim. But let's, before we see that, turn to page 5 and look at a fascinating pasuk in Parshas Ki Tsetse. There are certain people who the Torah tells us, even if they convert, are not allowed to marry into the Jewish fold. For different reasons, we have problems with their ancestry, how they treated us, etc. Lo yavo amoni u'moavi bekal Hashem. That anyone from Amon u'moav, from those two nations, is not allowed to come bekal Hashem. Coming bekal Hashem means to marry into the Jewish people. That's what it means to be come into the Kahal Hashem. So Amoni u'moavi can't come bekal Hashem. Gam dor asiri, even 10 generations, even if somebody converted. And 10 generations later, so you would think 10 generations later, Jews who were not Amon, who just born from the original convert, also not. Lo yovu lehem bekal Hashem ad olam. Al devar shall akidmu eschem balechem buvamayim, because they didn't, what? They didn't give you food when we came out of Mitzrayim, and they hired Bilam to curse us, so we have it in for them. So, right? So they can't come to Kalashim. No. So who is the potential victim? Yeah, so David HaMelech was what? The problem. People had ties against him. How could he marry into the Jewish fold? He's from what? From Rus, from Moab. So what was the answer? So the Torah Shebal Peh interprets that it says Moavi v'lo Moavit. That only if what? If the prohibition is only from the male side, but he came from Moab what? From the female side, and he, you see the Torah Tumima quotes it. On the third column, Amoni u'moavi, Amon u'moav, nikivosei mutaris. But a woman from Moab who converted, they are allowed to be in what? In the tribe of Hashem. They can marry into the Jewish people. So now I'm going to show you, based on the Rabbeinu Bechaya, a fascinating pshat in the pasuk in Tehillim. Take a look on page 6. Tehillim by David HaMelech. You know, Kuf Yutes. That's the, that goes through the Aleph-Bet 8 times. Right? That has 8 sukkim with Aleph, 8 sukkim with Beis, 8 sukkim with... that's the big capital, Kuf Yutes. What? Right, they spell out in the name, right? So people say the Zecha Nishmas. Spells the name. Look it carefully. Sorim Radfuni Chinam. So David Amel says, the generals were pursuing me. Umidvarcha pachad libi, and I was afraid. Sas anoki al mersecha kimotzi shal al rav. I rejoiced on your Torah like I found booty from a war. So now let me show you a beautiful shot from the Pinchas Friedman quoted from the Baruch Tam. You listen careful? Let's remember. What did Rabbeinu Bechaya say? Beidaber is what? Torah Shebasav. And Lemor is what? Torah Shebalpeh. So listen carefully. Sorry were the Funichinim. Means there were people, Doeg, etc., different generals, who were roaming me, who pursued me. What does it mean they pursued me? It means they had kindness on me. Because I came from what? From Moab. And they said, you have no business
being part of the Jewish people, marrying into the Jewish people, you came from Moab. Umidvarka pachad migdin. So what does that mean? Umidvarka from Vaidaber, from the Zibor, from the Torah Shabbat, Shebeksara, I was afraid, because they're right. The pasuk says that. So what vindicated me? Sas alochi al imra secha in Moses Sholo. But the imra lemor, the Tosha Balpeh, that Darshan, Moavi, Velo Moavis, that vindicated me, so that gave me able to rejoice, and I'm allowed to be in the Jewish fold. And that's the pshat of the Rebbe Tumim Frankel in this pasuk in Tehillim. Now, there's a very interesting pshat that the Beis Halevi gives in Parshas Kisisa. Take a look on page 7. Parshas Kisisa. What does it say? Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, ksov lecha es hadvorim ha'eila. Write down the Torah. Ki al pi hadvorim ha'eila karasi itcha bris ves Yisrael. Because the special covenant exists between me and the Jewish people. Look at Rashi. Es hadvorim ha'eila, says Rashi, v'lo atarasha lichtov torah shebalpeh. Where's this? So, the written law, and then P.L.P., the Torah Shabbat. So the Torah Shabbat style has to be written. The Torah Shabbat is oral.
And what's the idea? And therefore, and Rashi says, P.L.P. Hadvarim, you're not allowed to write down Torah Shabbat. Torah Shabbat Peh has to be what? Has to lead to stay oral. Right, that's between the Jews and God, and that's why, because we didn't want any of the Goyim to copy it. Right?
So therefore it had to be Al Peh. So that would be our, you know, code, our secret code of us and God.
Torah Shabbat Ksav, that's written down. Now the reason why Chazal tell us that the Torah of Shabbat Peh ultimately was written down also. The Mishnah was written down. The Gemara was written down. That's because we were afraid that it would get forgotten. Right, get lost altogether. So therefore we had to write it down. But it's interesting, Rav Huttner, in his famous Svarim Pachad Yitzchak, the first piece he has in Chanukah, says, and those that learn Gemara, you'll come across this, that a lot of times you'll read a Mishnah, right? And the Gemara will interpret the Mishnah by saying, Kasuri Mechsa, that there's a whole sentence missing from the Mishnah. And the way he has it, it's not intelligent. And the whole sentence is missing here, and a word is missing here. Now, what is that? Is that the way you write something? You leave out words, and you leave out sentences, and you leave out... What is that? So Rav Huttner explained the following. That even though the Torah Shabbat Peh was permitted to write it down, it still had to be written down in the most terse way, because we still wanted it to be Al Peh. So we could write it down, and we'll skip a couple of words, enough that it won't be lost. But you'll still need an oral tradition to know where to add in the missing words. Because he says, Rav Huttner, that the issue of writing down Torah Shabbat Peh is not just a prohibition, but it's the core of the relationship between us and God. So if it's the core of the relationship between us and God, so then you can't just say, well, now it doesn't apply. Because you just can't, you have a relationship with somebody, so you can't just throw away the relationship. That's the core of the relationship, that it's about that. So therefore what? it had to be remained, even after it was written down, it still remains certainly a certain aspect of prayer. And that's where you have this idea of Chasuri Metzera, that there are words missing, etc. That's what I wouldn't explain.
Oh. So Rashi points out that it says Ksov Lecha, Ki Al, the written, and Ki Alpi, Alpeh, and that has to be Balpeh. So one can ask a very simple kasha.
Yeah, you ready for this kasha? Very simple. This is telling us that there's two Torahs, the Torah of Ksav, the Torah of Balpeh, and the Torah of Balpeh has to be Balpeh, and the Ksav has to be what? The Ksav. Now, let me ask, where do you think that should have been written? That law, that Balpeh has to be Balpeh, and the Ksav, which part of the Torah should that have been in? Which one would you say? Yisro, we got the Torah. So we got the Torah, we just learned that Gemara Brachas, that everything was given to Moshe Misinai. So, if everything was given to Moshe Misinai, Torah Shem Ksav, Torah Shem Alper, so right away we should have been taught that. Why only what? Thank you, Jesus. That is the kasha of the Beis HaLevi. What's the answer? So the Beis HaLevi, you can look at it inside later, but I'll tell it to you outside now. The Beis HaLevi is a, you know, it's interesting. He has drushes in the back of his tshuvas. Beis HaLevi is fascinating. He wrote a sefer. We only have it on Bereishis and Shmos. After Shmos, we don't have it anymore. What happened? I don't know. Did he write it? Didn't write it? We don't have it. But then he wrote drushes in the back of his tshuvas, so we have the drushes. He was Rav Soloveitchik's grandfather. Great-grandfather. And he's the namesake. His name is Yosef Dov. Joseph B. Soloveitchik comes from the Beis HaLevi. It's his great-grandfather. So he says like this. That Chazal tell us a fascinating idea. Listen carefully. That Torah Shebal Peh, the concept that it's Baal Peh, only started with the Luchos Shnius. Meaning, when the first Luchos were written, all the interpretations, at least in maybe in Koch way or something like that, were on the Luchos as well. It wasn't a concept that there's written in oral. Everything was written, meaning the base text was written, and the interpretation was also written. It's only the Luchos Shnius to do Hashem say no more. Torah Shebal Ksav, the text is written, but the interpretation has to be kept oral. What changed? What changed was one thing. Chet HaEgel. Because the Gemara says before Chet HaEgel, we were not vulnerable to the Goy. Once we sinned with the Chet HaEgel, we became vulnerable to the Goyim. And therefore, once we were vulnerable to the Goyim, we're afraid that they will usurp the Torah from us. So, when, before we sinned with the HaEgel, everything could be written down, the base text and the oral interpretation could all be written down, because there's no, we're not afraid it's going to be stolen. After the Chet HaEgel, we became vulnerable. So therefore the Gemara says in Erevin that therefore the Beis HaLevi explains that's why it had to be what? It had to be oral. It couldn't be written. So he says, now you understand very well. Parshas Kisisa, that's when the Chet HaEgel. So it's only here, that what? They have the two Torahs. Only here. And I'll tell you something even more astonishing. Ready to this one? There is a concept brought down from the Hasidic sources, by the Maggid of Mezrich, that the 13, what do we say the core of Torah Sheh Baal Peh is? The 13 principles. The Magen of Mezrich says that the 13 principles of the Torah Sheh Baal Peh are parallel to what? The 13 midos of Rav. According to the Arizal, you start with count. Hashem, the whole discussion is how you count the 13. You count Hashem, Hashem is 2, or you say, no, Hashem, Hashem is introduction. Kel is number 1, Rachman, Tanan, etc.
And there's a lot to say about that. I'll tell you a fascinating idea. A fascinating idea. Listen to this. If I would say the word shofar in the Torah, what would come to your mind? Which holiday? Rosh Hashanah. Right? Shofar, Rosh Hashanah. Right? That's what I would say. Shofar, Rosh Hashanah.
And if I would tell you nowhere in the Torah does the word shofar appear by the Yachid of Rosh Hashanah, right? And then it says the word shofar when it comes to what? Rosh Hashanah nowhere? Maybe? So how do we know if it's shofar or Rosh Hashanah? It says true or here. It doesn't say the word shofar. You know what it says shofar?
Yom.
The kippur of Yom. The Jubilee year. And on Yom Kippur they blow shofar and it is laid 1-3. And it says key over there, and it's a shofar. So we learn now, just like it says key over there, it's a shofar, a true over there, it's a shofar. So to learn a shofar, it's a true, it also means shofar. So which principle is that? Zeru shofar. So which one is Zeru shofar in the 13 principles? Number 2. And in the Yudhim Midos Harachamim, Kel, Rachman. So one of the sons, Speaker Rebbe pointed out that it was when we blow shofar, we want to arouse that Nida of Rachman. So therefore, Dafka, for the Nida of what? Of Zerah Shalva, had a lot of teach us about shofar. Because shofar is more the Rachman.
It is a safer. Zichron Shmuel that says a fascinating idea from Shmelke Taubenfeld, one of the great Gedolim, passed away several years ago. He says, according to this Beis Halevi, where does Torah Sheh Baal Peh begin? Which parsha? Kisisa. So what's Torah Sheh Baal Peh? Is the, because we explained that that's where the Luchos Shnius began, after the Egel. And therefore, that's when we got the Yudhim Omidos, which are Torah of the Dresh. So what else appears in Parshas Kisisa? Is what? Yudhim Omidos Rachamim appear in Parshas Kisisa as well, because they come together. We just explained that they're parallel. The Kel is Kavachomer, Rachum, etc. And that's the next parsha. And Parshas Kisisa, page 8. Vayedaber Hashem vayavor Hashem al panov vayomar vayikra Hashem Hashem kal Rachum v'chanun, etc. And the Beis Halevi you can look at later. That's what we just quoted. So ultimately, if I would ask you, when is Torah Sheh Baal Peh given? When was the Torah Sheh Baal Peh given? On what day of the year?
Yom Kippur. Because the Luchos Shnius were Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur was the beginning of Torah Sheh Baal Peh. And what is the continuation of Yom Kippur? Sukkot. Because Sukkot is the continuation of the Rav Kook has a footnote, I think has as well, that Sukkot is very unique. You know what? What's so unique about Sukkot? I'll tell you. The Sukkot is the yontif that wears two hats. It's considered part of the Yom Kippurim, and it's also the Shalosh Yom. Because it's considered part of the forgiveness of the Yom Kippurim. The Sukkot, which
Well, Shadaraba, right? Right, when they're capitalists, the Zohar, Shadaraba, but even not being a capitalist, it's the Shemesh Ram Dianonim, which is part of the Slicha, which by the Heda Ego, it's the Vilna Gaon explains, you lost the Anonim at home. And that's why, you know, it came back by Sukkot. So Sukkot is the Yontif also
of what? Of Torah Shabbal Peh. Because it's a continuation of Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur was what?
Torah Shabbal Peh. That's when we got the Luch HaShmiyah. That's Torah Shabbal Peh.
So I'll show you a fascinating idea. What's unique about Sukkot, what do we do on the Mizbeach? Nisuch HaMayim. Right, the whole year we only pour wine in the Mizbeach. And Sukkot is wine, but also water.
So what's this idea with water? I'll tell you a nice word. You know, my wife gave birth the first time in Beth Israel Hospital on Sukkot.
So they had a sukkah there, so I brought my lunch. I ate in the sukkah in the Beth Israel Hospital. So Yitzhak sat down next to me and we started to talk about sukkahs and the Nisuch HaMayim. He said over a board to me from a Steinberg's. It was the Bubba of Rosh Hashiva, used to be a neighbor of mine. He said, a very simple word, but it's a profound word. I told it over a friend of mine came over to me, a good friend. And he asked me, what do you want, you know, can I walk you something? Just give me some water, he said to me. He says, what's the idea? If somebody very chashuv comes to you, and you're not so close to them, so you have to impress them, you have to bring out some fancy wine, whatever. If he's a close friend, you don't have to impress them. You just bring him water, and that's good. So we're closest to Kadosh Baruch Hu on Sukkot. Hashem brings us in his abode. Sukkot is at Kadosh Baruch Hu's abode, saying, come in. Haveyani Hamelach Hadara, as James Moore says. Because sometimes they're so close. When you're close to somebody, you don't have to impress them with a fancy thing. Just give them some water. It's good. Yeah, so also. Now, let me ask you. The Nisuch HaMayim, how do we know the Nisuch HaMayim? Where does it say in the Torah, Nisuch HaMayim? It doesn't say that in the Torah. Check. Never says this idea.
So how do we know? Because the next time you read the Parshas Pinchas, we just read from Haskuchas a couple of weeks ago. So Parshas Pinchas, when it speaks about the libations, so it says what? An extra mem on the second day, Niskeim, Nisachar, Kibishpach, an extra yud on the sixth day, and an extra mem on the what? On the seventh day. Mem, yud, mem. So on the second, sixth, and seventh, there's an extra mem on the second, extra yud on the sixth day, an extra mem on the seventh month. So that's merely a Torah of Alpha. That's not a Torah of Chassah. That's the Nisach coming out of.
The Mishnah says, you know, there were times that the Kohen Gadol was not so high. Yeah, that's right. In fact, the Kohen Gadol was So what did they used to do? They used to take the water that was supposed to put on the bath. What would they do? Throw it on the floor to make fun. With the Tzidukim, they didn't believe in Torah Shabbat. They only believed in what? Stop. So look in the Mishnah here on page 12. Look carefully. V'lamenaseich, the person who is pouring the water, we say, Hagveh Yosh, pick up your hand. In other words, we want to make sure you're going to pour it out in the Mizbeach, and you're not going to just throw it on the floor. So they say, Amar lo hagbe yadcha, shepam echad nosach echad al gabi radlo. Because there was one Kohen who what? Just poured it on his feet. How did everyone else react? Rogmu kolav esrogeim. They went through their srogan. So let me show you a nice word I once wrote off from that Rav Soloveitchik said on page 13. This Rabbi Reichman has in his sefer. the typical thing from Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik couldn't understand anything in a, you know, everything had to be like a deep idea. I would say, why'd they throw that throw? If I have to throw something at you, I would pick my S from it. You know, that's the easiest thing to throw. Like a ball, you know. So the Rav Soloveitchik couldn't understand the fact of being shot. So he says, why did they throw the Esther? You know why? Because he was saying to them, if you don't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh, so then how do you know you're supposed to take a Esrogim? The whole idea of a Esrogim is create Hadar, but that's only because Rambam says that was a Perush Mechubal Misina, that's what it means. So the whole idea that we're taking a Esrogim is because what? We believe in Torah Shabbat Peh. So look inside. He says, I am saying Rashid Mashiurim. Kashkata Badu Ragmu Daska Vesrog, Munira, the Harbe Halokas, the Kagasukas, and you saw this with Tosha Balte, the Nisakamayim. Kamsha Esau, who creates other Yadu Rakme Halokha Moshe Misina, Pisa Makdomal Perish and Shnai Param. The Zrikas Esrog, the Omnase, Shaloki Bela Halokha Moshe Misina, Shal Nisakamayim, and the Had Nimalo, she Messiah of Rakabal, the Tosha Balte, the Nisakamayim, Minayim, she creates other, Kosha Batora, who Esrog. In other words, you don't believe in it, so then how do you know about this Esrog? So that's what they're like in your face. You know, that was the idea that he said. Oh, so then let me tell you another thing. This idea I heard from the late Rabbi Shlomo Drillman, who was Rosh Yeshiva in the Yeshiva University, several years ago, passed away. So one year we were going together for Simchas Beis HaShoeva in the car. So he asked the following question. Listen to this question. I mean, you all know that people go to Simchas Beis HaShoeva on Sukkot because it's a zeker to what they did in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, when's the first night of Simchas Beis HaShoeva? What? The second night of Sukkot. So in Eretz Yisrael, they have one day of Yom Tov, and then, so it's the second night. First night is Yom Tov, second night is Chol HaMoed. And for us, it's also, I mean, just make it the Yom Tov, but really, the second night is, so that means that only on the second day did they pour the water.
Well, let's see what the, I don't know, in other words, the question that he's going to raise is why only the second night?
Right?
Why should there be the first night of Sukkot? There should be Nisach HaMayim. In other words, what was the Simchas Beis HaShoeva? Simchas Beis HaShoeva means the whole night they were drawing the water and dancing around, and the culmination was that in the morning they put the water and put it on the Mizrach.
So it was a whole night affair. I mean, that's why the Gemara says, in the time of Chazal, there's not too much sleep on Sukkot. It was basically Simchas Beis HaShoeva was a whole night thing of drawing the water and dancing, and then it ended in the morning. So they only did that the second night. What are the first night?
He told us before. He said this over to Rav Futner, and he liked this for it. He says, who was the first person to believe in Torah Shabbat Peh?
He says, you know who? In Chassid Sofer says as well, Yitzchak Avinu. Why? Because when it came to the Akedah, Hashem spoke directly to Abba. But who had the oral tradition? Well, Total of things have an oral tradition. You didn't hear it from God. So who had to believe in the oral tradition? Yitzchak, because he didn't hear it direct. So he had to believe in the Masorah from his father. So the first one to believe in the Masorah was with Yitzchak Avinu.
So the Mela, the Ushpazin of the second day, is Yitzchak Avinu. So the Torah Shabbal Peh begins with Yitzchak Avinu, that notion of the oral tradition, and that was that's with what happened. Take a look on page 15. This is from one of my Svarim that just came out on Svarim. We have a tradition, the Gemara says in Bava Basra, that the Geula is going to come b'schus the learning of Torah Shebaal Peh. And there's a fascinating gematria from Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld. I think Rav Pichas Friedman said it over at the Siyum HaShas, maybe last time, the time before, whatever it was. He says, what does the pasuk say in Yeshaya? Tzion v'mishpat tipadeh v'shaveha v'tzaka. So he says, Tzion v'mishpat tipadeh v'gimatshriya talmud yushalmi. V'shaveha v'tzaka v'gimatshriya talmud bavli. He said it over. Seems that the only function is Samach. He said it over. Yeah. So Torah Shebaal Peh brings the Geula. So let me tell you a vort. I quote here, the Rosh Yeshiva of Karen Biavno always used to like to say it over. Because what's so special about Torah Shebaal Peh? And this is a great Musar Haskel. He said, you know, what is Torah Shebaal Peh? The whole thing. You learn Gemara. What is it? It's one Bible. This one asks a question. He gives an answer. He gives a riot. He refutes it. It's a long, long conversation. That's what Torah Shebaal Peh is. So the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. It says, Shnayim sheyoshvim ve'ein beinayim divrei Torah. Harei the what? Moshe Leis. So I remember the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Chaim Yaakov Goldberg, would say it over. I'll say it over the way he said it over. He said, let's just say two people are sitting and they're not speaking and learning, so that's a Moshe Leitz. That's frivolous. That's Leitzonis. He says, why is that Leitzonis? He said, to me, Leitzonis means that a bunch of people at the table have bottles of beer and their feet are on the table and they're joking around. That's a Moshe Leitz. There's two people, the shiny organ, maybe an individual. That's a Moshe. Why is that a Moshe Leitz? He said a beautiful, he quotes from Rav Chaim Volozhiner. He says like this. He says, you know what the Mishnah means? The Mishnah means like this. It doesn't mean two people are sitting and not learning. You know what it means? Ein beinayim. Meaning there's no dialogue. Each one is learning, but they don't want to hear what the other guy has to say. There's no give and take. Ein beinayim. Because no one respects what the other person has to do. That's what Rav Chaim says. The word like tonus. What does Leitzonis mean? Leitzonis means when you take something chashim and you machloit it. You say, ah, it's nothing, it's not chashim. That's Leitzonis. So he says, ein beinayim doesn't necessarily mean they're not learning. But there's no dialogue, there's no respect. And the ultimate of Torah Shebaal Peh, of all of Shas, is that even though people are disagreeing, but each one listens to the other and says, okay, you say this, and you listen, and you think about it, and you take it seriously, and then you can respond. You can agree, you can disagree, but at least there's that respect. And that's why Torah Shebaal Peh ultimately is going to bring the Geula. Because... Right, exactly. Rabbi Akiva's students don't have respect for each other, that caused the demise, etc. So that's the Yisoz. The Torah was given, Torah Shabbastav, Torah Shebaal Peh, HaTorah, VaMitzvah, Torah, right, we discussed the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, that Torah Shabbastav is the Mikra, is the Rigid, Torah Shebaal Peh is the Mishnah, is Leymor, Vaidaber Shalom Moshe Leymor, Sorim Ras Funichinam, Dvarcha Pachat Libi, Sasanochi Om Rasecha, the Dibor, the Amira, the Torah Shabbastav, the Torah Shebaal Peh, the Luchos Rishonis, the Luchos Shnias, Parshas Kisisa, you'd give them Midrash Torah Drashas Mem, you'd give them Midrash Harachamim, will come together in Parshas Kisisa, and the idea of the of Yom Kippur being the Yontif of Torah Shabbal Peh, and Sukkot the continuation, the Nitzach Hamayim, the Kohen Gadol who made fun, the throwing of the Esrogim, and finally the ultimate Geula, Tzion B'Mishpat Tipadeh, is Talmud Yerushalmi, the Shaveh B'Tzedakah is a Talmud Bavli, because Torah Shabbal Peh is going to bring the Geula, because Torah Shabbal Peh is, it brings people together. You could disagree, but at least you have a dialogue. You speak, you respect, you understand, and then you could thresh things out. And that's the beauty of learning the Chavrusa. And so everyone, you know, if whether you are a Daf Yomi learner, you're not a Daf Yomi learner, everyone should have a chelek in Torah, saying Chalkeinu B'Sar Secha. You know, the Magal Amukos says, it's interesting, the Magal Amukos is a famous Mekubal. He wrote a sefer on the Torah of Magal Amukos, and then he wrote a separate sefer, Magal Amukos, listen, just on Parshas Hatzana. Whole sefer, just on Parshas Hatzana. I think in that sefer he has the famous acronym Yisrael, Yei Shishin Ribo Osios Torah. That there are 600,000 letters in the Torah, not necessarily literally, and then 600,000 Jews, because every Jew has a letter in the Torah, every Jew has a chelek in Torah, and whatever it is, everyone should find their niche in Torah to continue learning, and Torah Shabbat, Torah Shabbal Peh. Everyone has a special chelek in Torah, and that's Bez Hashem should hasten the coming of the Mashiach from Pei Rav Yomi.